Welcome to Entrepreneur Eats, a conversation about business and community with a side of eats. My name is Deanna Smith, and I'm your host. Have you noticed that Grand Avenue is being renovated? When it's done, traffic will be much easier, and the heart of our business community will be much more beautiful. While it may be more challenging to shop and dine there right now, it would be grand to have you make an extra effort to support the businesses downtown. I am here with Police Chief Ed Barso, and we're here to talk about Measure I. And although nobody wants to raise taxes or pay any extra taxes, we're going to talk about why Measure I is important.
Certainly.
So if we can start off by, if you can just tell me, what is our police department, what is it like these days?
Absolutely. So, you know, I've been part of the city of Escondido, with the exception of a short gap, about 23 years, almost 24 years. And during that time, I've been chief of police for just about 5 years. The end of this year will be 5 years for me. Our police department has always been a very lean staffed police department. It's been that way for my entire career, and I think even many years before that. What that really means for us is we're currently budgeted for 164 police officer positions. For a city our size, that actually makes us per capita tied as the lowest staffed police department in San Diego County. Prior to the recession that we all experienced in 2008-2009 timeframe, our police department was actually staffed at 170. So, as you can see, all these years later, we're still at a level that's below what we were prior to the last recession. We never got back to that level of staffing. That number held at 160 for many years. Our city council found funding to be able to increase four positions so that we could focus on some of the aspects of drug addiction and homelessness that we're working through as a city, which puts us at 164. But in a real practical sense, that number includes everything from my position all the way through to the line level police officer answering 911 calls. As you think about all of the functions of a police department, really what it comes down to is during the nighttime hours, Escondido usually only has seven police officers patrolling the community. And even during our busiest days, we'll only have maybe 11 officers patrolling our community. That is, from my experience, woefully inadequate for a police department that is handling on average of about 250 calls a day. We average a little over 50,000 calls for service a year. When you take the two large agencies, the San Diego Police Department and the San Diego County Sheriff's Department, out of the equation, the Escondido Police Department arrests more people than every other city in our county. So we're a very busy police department. We try to be as proactive in how we address crime in our community as possible. But there's only so much you can do. And when you only have seven officers or maybe only 11 during a peak hours, you quickly run out of available resources.
Wow, that seems like such a low number. What is an ideal number for the size of our city?
Sure. So we're real right now. I've hired a company that is looking at our staffing levels, not just within the police cars and how many cars do we have out in the public at any given time, but how many detectives do I have? How many specialized traffic officers do I have? And really studying our call volume, our crash rate, our crime rate, to give me the detailed understanding of what we need for a police department our size in a city as complex as Escondido is. The general numbers that I have from my past experience is that we're probably in the area of about 30 officers short of where we really should be, that we really should be a police department of about 190, maybe a little bit more than that. But I think that study is going to be complete here within the next several weeks and will give us a much better understanding of exactly what the needs are for Escondido Police Department.
Well, that's good that you're having a study done. It gives us more detailed information and not just, a simple ratio. Nothing is simple. So it's good to know. So when you go to hire, if and when Measure I passes, How will you be able to compete against other agencies to hire new officers?
Sure. This is a big concern for police chiefs throughout our country, quite frankly. One of the concerns that we have is just the level of negativity toward the policing profession throughout the country really did result in fewer recruiting numbers. When I tested to become a police officer many years ago, there was, you know, several hundred people in that process. Today, we will open up a recruitment for entry-level officer. We may get 100 applications, which sounds like that's a lot, but really our competitive process, the background investigation from that 100 pool applicants, we may hire only one or two of those folks. So you're looking at a very limited number, and every law enforcement agency in California is hiring right now. Everybody is in a constant state of recruitment, which means that there's a lot of agencies, a lot of organizations throughout the state, throughout the country, that are paying very competitively. They're offering huge incentives to recruit experienced police officers in particular. For example, the city of Torrance, just up the road in Los Angeles County, recently developed a recruitment program that would bring on lateral police officers with a up to $100,000 hiring bonus. That's a huge incentive. And so, you know, one of the ways that we've competed throughout the years for that is Escondido Police Department has a really good reputation within law enforcement for our professionalism, our training, our equipment, our ability to be in an atmosphere where you want to work in. And that's helped our recruitment a lot. Today, where many agencies are significantly behind in the number of vacancies they have, we currently have 6 vacancies. That's about normal for our police department, for a police department our size, to have somewhere between, you know, 4 to 6 open spots at any given time. But the competitive side of that concerns me is, you know, we have to pay our police officers a fair salary. I think most people go into law enforcement, they tell you, I'm not interested in being a rich person. I'm going into public service. I understand that the sacrifices I make for the community, and that I'm not expecting to make a lot of money, but I do want to be fairly compensated for the work that I do. And so one of the things that we do is to build an atmosphere where folks want to work. We have the equipment, we have the training, and then we look for, you know, really good quality candidates so that we can have the kind of people here. But it does worry me, the hiring landscape for law enforcement is so competitive that if financial restraints of the city became a significant challenge, for example, Measure I does not pass, that we would lose a lot of people very quickly.
What's a lot and how quickly?
Yeah, I think, you know, when every local law enforcement agency is hiring, you could be an experienced police officer and be hired at another city in a matter of weeks. And so I think that one of the challenges that we have is that the police officers want to be a part of our organization. And that's one thing I want to make sure is clear, is they love Escondido Police Department. They love serving this community. They speak very highly of it. But at the end of the day, they have families to take care of and bills to pay, just like all of us do. And there's only so much you can weather before you would have to look at other opportunities. So, you know, my concern would be that, you know, when you only have 164 positions to begin with, even losing even just 10 police officers has a significant detrimental impact to the police department.
Sure. How will Measure I help us if we get funded?
So I think the first thing it's going to do is, you know, I timed the research we're doing on the staffing study so that we have in hand a plan of where our organization sits. And it's not just the police officer positions. It's making sure we have enough dispatchers. We have enough folks that process our records, paperwork, our property and evidence. There's a lot of other ancillary support functions within our police department that need to be staffed appropriately for a professional agency like us to operate. So that having that report in hand is going to be my first step, which would be to take a look at that report, Measure I passes, and then begin a conversation with our city manager, with our city council on prioritizing the needs of the police department, which obviously is still just one part of the overall city operation. But that would be the thing that I would want to look at first, is what of these priorities can I do that's going to have the most lasting impact in Escondido the quickest?
So tell me about the future of law enforcement. Are there any new ideas, techniques, or something that will help us be proactive with the things that are happening in our community?
Sure. I think one of the benefits is, you know, police officers are the most expensive part of our budget. And so we also look as a city on how do we be more efficient? How do we be more effective? How do we lean on technology? I think that there's a lot of technology advances that most cities in our region are already employing that we have been unable to because of funding and personnel constraints, that we're able to do stuff so that we have the ability to respond to crime quicker, to respond to people's calls for help quicker, and to be able to do so much more effective. And I'll paint it in this picture. The technology exists for us to, instead of currently when you call 911, you answer, the phone is answered by a dispatcher who takes down your information and then dispatches a call over the radio. Well, there's a time lag from the time that person calls 911 to the time the call is sent to a police officer. There's technology that exists now that we could be sitting in the car and hear that call as it comes in. And then you take it a step further and you have drone technology now, where we don't use that to spy on our population. We use it to respond to a very specific incident. And then on top of that, then you have license plate reader technology, for example, that is only taking a picture of a license plate number and of a vehicle. It doesn't know who the car belongs to. It doesn't have anything other than a car with this license plate drove through this point at that time. But it gives the investigators a huge tool to help identify, for example, a hit and run or some sort of crime where we had no information, but a license plate was captured on a plate reader. So you take all of that technology, you put it together, and you have a time where, you know, let's say, for example, there's a bank robbery in Escondido. As the call's coming in, a police officer is hearing the call as it's being answered. A drone is able to be launched from the police station and head straight there before a police car could ever get there. The people that do the bank robbery, let's say they get in a car and they drive away. They now have a capture of the license plate number, and investigators are now solving this crime before the first officer isn't even on scene yet. That makes us incredibly efficient, and I think is going to be the way that public safety agencies throughout our country operate for many years to come. And there's no reason why we couldn't implement that today, as long as you just have the personnel to operate some of the systems and the equipment itself.
That sounds amazing. It also sounds very RoboCop.
It's very futuristic, and it does put us in a advantageous position in solving crime. But then I also make sure I always share with the community too. It is very important to me that our community understand that we use this technology appropriately. John Q. Citizen, I do not care what your activities are in the community, but if you're a bank robber, yes, I want to find you and get you off the street as quick as I can.
It seems like that technology will save so many lives, just saving all those seconds.
Oh, for sure. The time is such an important part of this. And then you also don't need as many police officers because you're able to operate in a more efficient way.
In all of your experience, and you know what's going on with our city and our budget and the things that are to come, if you had one message, just a short message that you could share with our community, what would that message be?
I know how much the residents, we all care about Escondido. I worry greatly of what this city is facing. I understand that California in particular is a very expensive place to live. All of our bills have gone up significantly in the last couple of years. I understand the financial pressure that's there. This city has operated in such a state of just resource depletion when it comes to city operations for so long that it is hard to function. It is hard on our police officers to keep doing the work that they're doing when they don't have everything that they need to be able to do successfully. Without the tax measure being able to be passed, I think that we will become a training ground where we go from today having a very experienced professional police department to one where you have folks that lack experience and then they seek other opportunities as soon as they can get hired somewhere else. This happens in some communities. It's always detrimental. And that's not the kind of organization that we want in Escondido. But I do fear that that's the direction we're going down, is not having enough police officers, and the ones that we do have are poorly equipped, poorly trained, which is dangerous, especially when you're talking about police work.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your time and thank you for your service. It's important. And I just can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yes on I, investing in Escondido's future. This year, Escondido residents have a question to answer. What kind of community do you want Escondido to be? Measure I is a bipartisan effort led by community members, not politicians. It will add a 1 penny sales tax on every dollar spent in Escondido. The measure would generate about $28 million every year. This money could fund critical priorities like addressing homelessness, improving local streets, sidewalks, and infrastructure, providing police, firefighters, dispatchers, and paramedics resources to protect public safety and keeping our city safe. The city of Escondido is facing a financial crisis. In spite of a decade of service cuts, city revenue has not been able to keep up the pace with growing costs. If we don't pass Measure I, the city will have no choice but to cut services like the library and the Center for the Arts, parks and recreations, senior services, and the Escondido Police and Fire Departments. Oversight and accountability is at the heart of Measure I. The measure will sunset after 20 years and includes a citizens oversight committee to ensure new revenue is spent appropriately. Essential goods like groceries and medication are exempt from this tax. Bring much needed funding to Escondido, 1 penny at a time. Vote yes on Measure I. For more information, visit escondidocitizens.org.